Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. All right, we are endeavoring to get Chris Harrington on the show. I'm just going to presume he's no longer driving through Iowa as he was yesterday. But I want to talk to Chris about the draft, which commences tomorrow over two nights again. And so we'll try to get Chris here on in a minute. I had said earlier, it's interesting, John Hollinger's draft top 75 players have dropped. And the players who we talked about, who Jeffrey and I talked about, as being likely not there, it seemed to me. He has Carter Bryant as at 8 on his list. Again, the Grizzlies pick 16. So it just feels unlikely that he will be there, is one. And then Colin Murray Boyles, who is the kind of odd, he's a 6'7 center on a terrible South Carolina team. Just on a terrible, who can't shoot. and Hollinger has him as his number 6 player. And there you even wonder about the position, because he was a center at South Carolina. He's obviously not going to play a center. He's not going to be a center in the NBA. He might well be a 4 in the NBA. He can guard 1 through 4. But my point really, my larger point is that they're not going to be there. Neither of those guys are going to be there. And so it's one of the reasons why I don't hate the idea, and I know a lot of you do, of them trading up if they have a conviction about a player. Now, Cedric Coward, who's the other sort of 3-and-D wing, he's the one from Washington State who played a couple of years at Eastern Washington and was headed to Duke. Duke seems to be able to identify talent, so that's not all bad. Cedric Coward, he does have in the 20s, and so that maybe he will. Like, and the most recent ESPN mock draft had Seth had Coward falling to the Grizzlies at 16. So maybe there's a possibility if they stay put, they get him. Liam McNeely is another one who you wonder about might be in play. He's maybe more of a 4. He's not a great defensive player. He is a shooter, although he didn't shoot well at UConn. And now we do have Chris. Chris, what were we listening to back when we were back? There we are. There it is. Chris.
Time of the Season by the Zombies. Lead singer Colin Blundstone, born on this day in 1945. It is the time of the season for drafting and trading.
Yeah, I would urge people to go listen to the podcast that you did with Drew Hill. But I want to get straight to the draft, because, and we can talk about the Drew Holiday trade in a minute if we have time. But I listened avidly to the podcast. I think Is this correct? You're five. You each identified five players. Carter Bryant from Arizona was one of your five. Colin Murray Boyles was another one of your five. Cedric Coward was another. Thomas Sorber and Nick Clifford. Are those the five?
We each did six.
Oh, six. I'm sorry.
And six for pick number 16, and the other one for me was Noah Pinda.
Oh yeah, Noah.
But I said on the pod, like, my top four guys were a sort of a clear four, and then I had two others to fulfill the commitment. But it's really the four guys I'm interested in that pick.
I want to start with. I'm pretty well convinced, as I said earlier. I often pay immense amount of attention to drafts. I did not this one. And even when I did, I booed my beloved Buffalo Bills when they picked Josh Allen. So what the hell do I know? I'm still convinced, though, that Carter Bryan and Colin Murray Boyles, just to take two, they're not going to be there at 16. Do you agree?
So if you look at the two, and I filed a column this morning that'll be up later today where I went through a lot of draft stuff. But if you look at our most prominent, like, media mocks, which I'm calling ESPN, The Athletic, Bleacher Report, and Yahoo.
Yep.
Sam Vecenie, Kevin O'Connor, Jonathan Givony, Jonathan Wasserman, to be specific. If you look at those four as sort of some indicator, the range of Carter Bryant is 10 to 11. Like, everyone thinks he's going either 10 or 11. The range on Colin Murray Boyles was 10 to 14. Now, 14 is pretty close to 16, so who knows?
But it's not 16.
Yeah. It's not, but it's also a mock draft, not a real draft.
I understand that, yeah.
And so, like, those are guys who, like, maybe one of them was up to 16, but everyone seems to think they're going to go just a little bit ahead of that pick. So those could have to be trade-up guys, maybe.
Now, the 3-and-D who might in some of those, and I saw, like, the most recent ESPN one, and I don't even know if you included this one because I think it was Shams' draft or what, I don't know. That was Cedric Coward, had him falling to the Grizzlies at 16. But I bet most of the consensus on Cedric Coward is higher than 16, isn't it?
The range for him, I want to say, was something like 12 to 16. It was also pretty narrow. But there were multiple, and the Ringer just put one up that I didn't include that just went up after I filed, which I don't know whether I would include it or not, but it has Coward at 16. So I've seen multiple mocks that have him at 16, but you're not seeing anything with him going long past that at this point. My thinking has changed a little bit since I recorded the pod. It changes more every day, obviously, because that's how we work. I would have Coward 1, not 2 now in terms of what I would like to see. And so I'm just convinced he's going 15 to OKC.
Right. It is interesting that Hollinger had him at 27, I think. What did Hollinger have him at in his not a mock draft, but in his own personal rank?
I was just looking at that. It was higher than that, but it was 20.
It's 22. Yeah, it's 20. It's 22. Yeah, it's 22.
Yep.
So he had him at 22. It is funny, though, even as he is less a believer in him, if you read what he says about him, which is basically a drop dead 3-point shooter. And by the way, you know, did spectacularly, big wingspan, a great standing vertical, great three quarter sprint, all of this stuff. He doesn't have a great handle. So he says, think of him more as a 3-and-D guy who offers a lot more plus finishing inside the arc than you typically see in this role. Clear starter upside, small forward. That's what the Grizzlies need, right?
Yeah. I mean, Bryant's a little bit bigger in terms of his physical frame, but I think Coward, again, I'm basing this on what I have to go with, which is I've watched some videos. I've looked at stats, I've read scouting reports. It is what it is. But Bryant has a little bit bigger frame, has a little bit more advanced defensively, it seems. But Coward seems like he could play the three. He could be pretty good defensively. And he just seems like has a lot more scoring potential. So that's why I'm a little bit more into him, the more I've looked at it.
I'll be honest. Some of this is just emotionally. I've been saying, if they trade up, there might be some Grizzlies fans who are like, what the hell are they doing here? Trading up. They don't need another young player, blah, 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 whatever else. I will be more intrigued and excited if you use that pick to get Cedric Coward in a trade up or something than I would be if they use it to, you know, in a deal with Cole Anthony to get PJ Washington.
Yeah, there's a wider range of outcomes, both better and worse.
Right.
Doing that, you know what you're getting. Herb Jones or pick your like middle mid rotation wing, right? The Grizzlies can use those guys, but there's a solid there's a solid ceiling and solid floor on those guys. Whereas it's a little wider range if you're trading up for, you know, whether it's Bryant or Boyles or Howard or whoever, you're at least giving yourself the chance of really hitting on something. Where you're not, if you trade for P.J. Washington, which I endorse, you know you're not hitting on anything. You know, right, you're just getting P.J. Washington.
Well, that's the other question is what should the Grizzlies aspire to do here? Like if those were the two choices, if both were available to them, and we don't know that they are or would be. But for example, P.J. Washington does not make you the best team in the West or the second best team in the West or right, like, but that does make you better and you do need to be better. Like you've had a, you know, you do want to make the team better every, with every deal you make or every step, like should they be, because they're no longer really an elite contender in the West, should they be taking a bigger swing or they be, should they be trying for incremental improvement?
I mean, they have enough assets from the Bane trade to try to do both. It's just a matter of order of operation a little bit. So, if moving up, let's say from 16 to 10, 11, 12, I don't think they're getting higher than 10, right? If moving up a few spots means the 16 and a future first, and that future first has good protections on it, right? You're not going to give up a top four pick.
Right. I love talking the draft, and we lost him again.
You sounded like the zombies there.
Yeah, that's true. I sounded like the zombies there. It is interesting.
It can be a high level starter, can be a quality starter.
Uh-huh.
You still have like these tradable contracts, you know, and Cole Anthony and Davis Holden Pope. You still have multiple future picks to trade for other deals. So, like, you don't have to choose. You can
right,
do
you
both.
Can do both things, and you can do one of. You don't have to. You can still have incremental improvement if you don't do it tomorrow night. Okay, let me ask in particular about positional stuff, because Colin Murray Boyles is a guy, again, I don't think he's going to be there. He is in college. He was an undersized center who could guard the one to the four, and he's not a shooter, although maybe he can develop into something of a shooter. You would wonder why the hell did the Grizzlies need that? He's a guy who, you know, you've got quite some bigs already and you don't have enough shooting already. What's the argument and how concerned would you be about his ability to get on the floor for this team next year?
Well, basketball is not baseball or football, right? You don't have to have someone who stands on first base.
Right.
And so it's a fluid game, and at some level, not at all levels, but at some level there's fluidity in terms of position. And he's the kind of player who, because he can defend more, he can defend multiple different kinds of players, multiple quote-unquote positions, that gives you a lot of fluidity to fit into different kinds of lineups, much like Jaren Jackson can fit into different kinds of lineups. And so I think Boyle is a guy who can fit in different kind of lineups. If Santi Aldama can play minutes at the three because of his offensive versatility, if he's playing with Jaren, well, Colin Murray Boyle can probably play minutes at the three because of his defensive versatility if he's on the floor with Jaren. He can play in the front court with Jaren. He can probably play in the front court with Zach Edey if his shooting improves just a little bit. I think there's a lot of versatility there. And you just to add guys who are plus defenders at multiple positions, like you can find a way to get guys like that on the floor.
One of the things the Grizzlies need is they probably need a five because somewhere in this offseason, because Zach Edey's hurt. And so we've talked about that. They might have needed it anyway. If they use their one for either, there's a bunch of fives who could there be. Danny Wolfe is one. Thomas Sorber is one that you had. And maybe he'll go higher than the Grizzlies pick at 16, but he's another one they could trade up for. There's a bunch of other bigs. Honestly, if they ended up trading back, there's a bunch of bigs there. Is it a waste of an asset if they use it to get a five?
The problem with that, and this is something I wrote in the column I'll go up today, because I really like Sorber quite a bit.
Yeah.
The problem with this for the Grizzlies is their biggest need for a new center next season is the beginning of the season when Zach Edey's hurt. And that's the point. That's the portion of the season in which a rookie is least likely to help you. So does it mean if you take a center with the first round pick, are you going to still go third center on top of that? Probably not. So I think it's probably hard for them to take a five round number. So that there's a real complication with that.
You like Sorber though, as a player. You like Sorber even if it seems impractical.
I do, just because I think the talent level is there that I just, you know, at some level you have to bet on talent in the draft.
Right. All right, before we let you go, we'll do more of the draft tomorrow. We're having a little bit of a hard time connecting with you today. What'd you think of the Jrue Holiday deal?
I'm in the studio tomorrow, so that'll be better.
What'd you think of the Jrue Holiday deal?
It's interesting. From the Celtics perspective, you know, they're shaving about $5 million in salary, $40 million in luxury tax. They're also getting a couple second-round picks and a player in Anthony Simons, who's pretty good and is on an expiring contract, and maybe he could be a trade chip again later in the season. So that makes sense. From Portland, they're just trying – I guess they're trying to win right now, and they probably look at their team and think, you know, they have Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, Donovan Clingan, Tamani Kamara, Denny Avdija. Five young players, all on pretty cheap contracts, below market value. So maybe you can handle, like, taking the money of a Jrue Holiday and you can just add that veteran presence to help give you a boost for next season. But I think they're placing a pretty big bet on Scoot Henderson as a lead guard, and I'm not sure that bet's going to pay off next season.
All right, we'll have you in studio tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian had some issues today connecting with Chris. But what do you make of that? Like, that is the central dilemma, Jeffrey, right? Is the whole sort of, are you trying to be incrementally better, or are you taking a guy who's both higher upside, lower down, you know, whatever? And I do think his point is they have enough stuff that they can ultimately do both. They don't have to use tomorrow night's first round draft pick to get incrementally better.
Yeah, I think the idea would be, like, is tomorrow like a binary decision?
And of course
I think,
not.
And to me, like, no.
Some will treat it that way, though, if
correct.
They get a if they get a younger player.
And enjoy a draft the way you want to enjoy a draft. I'm not going to sit there. But, like, I do think
it's clearly one of the opportunities for them to get an incrementally better is tomorrow night. And if they don't use
I think this is definitely true. What is their best chance of getting the best player? It's tomorrow night.
To getting the best player? The highest upside player?
Yes.
I think their best chance of getting, the best chance of getting a future all-star is to pick him tomorrow night.
Correct.
Is to take a swing tomorrow night.
And I don't discount that.
But also, you could argue that their best chance of getting a player who makes them better next year
is to
trade the pick
correct.
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
Like, whatever. So it's complicated. Choose your own adventure. We're going to come back, talk to Fishman in D.C. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. We will do that next. Before that, I will tell you, if you're getting something framed, the Frame Corner is the place to go. 50 years of framing memories at the Frame Corner, because that's what they do. You bring in something that's really important to you, and they make it look beautiful and last forever. You will have it to have on your wall. You'll have it to hand down like that. Instead of slapping it in a frame or whatever else, make it look beautiful. Whether it's photos that mean something to you, whether it's a piece of art that particularly means something to you, whether it's sports memorabilia that means something to you. If something really means something to you and you want it framed the way it can be and should be framed by the professionals, by the people who have been doing it for 50 years, it is the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. When we come back, Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, we'll do that next. Jeff Cockettshire, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also, a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand who has a bit of a problem on his hands because he's got trees falling in his backyard. And Charles, I would argue, this is one of my thoughts, there are very few ways to spend money that are less enjoyable than taking down trees. Like putting on a new roof, I'd put that in my top five of ways. I mean, obviously medical stuff, that's no fun. But I think taking a, you like trees, so to spend, and it's incredibly expensive to take away trees. Having trees fall in your yard is a huge calamity, financial and otherwise.
This has been a huge calamity. It's deeply sad. Probably 150, 160 foot tree, probably 100 years old. We had a huge and really violent storm last Thursday here in Washington and in our particular neighborhood. My wife and I were literally racing for the basement. That's how bad it was. It felt like we were in a tornado when you looked out the windows. The trees were bending over. And as that was happening, my wife actually was looking out the window and saw the neighbor's tree cascade over. And on his yard, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but this tree has the scale of the Washington Monument. Like, that is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you and I were holding hands, we would not have been able to surround the base of the tree.
We don't hold hands, though, and maybe with Jeffrey,
maybe with Jeffrey, the three of us, but maybe not. Like, the base of the tree is the size of a bedroom. Like, that's how big it is. It's huge. It cascaded into our yard away from both houses. And on our yard, we can't even tell. It certainly took down two medium-sized trees, trees that at the base you and I could have held hands, but not one of us alone, and maybe three trees. And it's on our neighbor's yard, it mostly is off the ground. It's mostly floating. It came to rest on a little hill in our backyard. And so it's resting on its tree ball, on its root ball. On his side.
Here's the problem. I don't care about the logistics of the tree, but here's the problem. I looked this up because I was under the impression that if a tree falls, this is not a saying or anything else, tree falls in the woods. If a tree falls, that it's the neighbor's expense to clean up. But that is only true if there was some thought.
No.
Let me finish. It was only true if there's some thought that the tree was weak, they should have been removed, if there was some warning and you had told the neighbor, hey, that looks like it. Otherwise, it wherever it falls, you're responsible. So even though it's the tree started on his place, you could be looking at thousands and thousands of dollars to remove this Washington Monument from your yard.
Well, the estimate just came. The first estimate, I hasten to clarify, the first estimate just came. We are 100% uninsured for this tree, apparently.
Because it didn't take out any price. If it hit your house, you would have been better off. If it had been hit your house.
I had this conversation with the insurance company literally the night it happened. And they said, well, did it hit the house? No. Do you have any outbuildings? Did it hit any outbuildings? Fences? A car? Then the guy said, well, it didn't do any property damage. And we're your property damage insurance company.
Yeah.
We don't insure tree-on-tree violence. Tree-on-tree damage. And so on our yard, I mean, it really is violent. It's incredible. And so the first estimate just came in 4 minutes ago. And it's for $18,000 to remove the tree. So
I'd say you have a tree sculpture in your backyard. Put some mushrooms around it, and there you go. All right.
That's our push.
Anyway, well, we hope.
I haven't spent, just to be clear, I haven't spent $18,000
on a car.
On any of the last six cars I've purchased. So
Charles is going to have a tree payment. Charles is going to have a monthly tree payment.
I'm going to have a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
You know what? the success of the radio show will bring in the kind of revenue that will make paying for the anyway. Go ahead.
What we're talking about is Fred Smith died over the weekend. I know you know that. And
speaking of a tree falling in the forest,
you spent once upon a time when you worked for Fast Company. It was for Fast Company, right? You spent a day in the in Memphis, whatever, in the hub.
I spent several days here. I spent a night in the hub, which is a little bit of a cliche now, but never watched them sort the FedEx packages. It's insane. But what I was really interested in was the huge ecosystem. Companies moved to Memphis because every FedEx package, this is not quite true anymore. There are some regional hubs now for FedEx, but most FedEx packages come to Memphis. They are sent to Memphis for simplicity. Then they're sent wherever they need to go from Memphis. And what companies have done, like Williams-Sonoma is a perfect example, they have a huge distribution center in Memphis.
Right.
So they save...
As does Nike, for example.
...hours.
Yeah.
Huh? As does Nike.
Yeah.
They save 6 hours. They can put the stuff right on the planes at 1 a.m. instead of having to fly it from their regional, from their regional warehouse in Cleveland or Orlando or Houston. And so it has driven this incredible economy in Memphis. But here's the thing. I said this. You and I have talked about this. Here's the thing I think is so amazing. Fred Smith, we've heard a lot in the last forever. Fred Smith changed the world. Fred Smith changed our expectations about the world. When Fred, I remember, there are some moments in your life you remember. It's sad that what I remember is business news. I remember where I was. I remember I was in college. We were in college when Federal Express started getting going. And I think you said this yesterday on the radio. In about 1980, a first class stamp was 8 cents. And it's maybe hard to believe for people younger than 40, but in the 60s and 70s and 80s, when you put a letter in the mailbox on Tuesday, no matter where you are and no matter where the letter was, if you were in New York and the letter was going to Dallas, it was there on Thursday. It got there, not the next day, but the day after. If it arrived on Friday instead of Thursday, people were like, huh, that took a long time. So two-day service was literally the standard for USPS for 8 cents. And Fred Smith offered to get a piece of paper to the place you wanted it to go in one day, by tomorrow, for $9. So 10 times 8 cents is 80 cents, and 100 times 8 cents is $8, more than 100 times the cost. And I literally remember laughing and thinking, who in the world? Now, $9 today is something like, $9 then is something like $50 today. And so, and a FedEx letter does not cost $50 overnight, but it just seemed insane. Who would pay 100 times the cost?
When we already had fax machines, you could fax a document.
And we had fax machines at the time, right? And so Fred Smith's insight was that there were not only people who would, there was enough paperwork that needed to move around that this would make sense and people would do it. And he was really focused in the early days on the FedEx letter. And so I think there's a couple things that happened. First of all, as you said yesterday, this was the era when if you bought something, it said expect 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. You literally forgot that you had bought it.
That's true.
That's why there was
excitement.
True. Yeah. In 1984, when you got a package, you had no idea what it was because you didn't. Today, we have no idea what it was because we ordered 6 things in the last 4 days and they're all coming in 24 hours. But also, the truth is that the 6 to 8 week thing discouraged you from buying stuff. You just thought, if I have to wait a month and a half, I'm buying it today, it'll be here in August. You know what? Skip it. I don't need it. And he didn't just say, I'll have it to you in a week, I'll have it to you in 10 days. He said, tomorrow. It literally seemed insane. And so it was in 1976, the exact equivalent of the Google guy saying, this internet thing, we could put all of human knowledge on it. It's not just good for email. We could literally put every document and book and process and credit card record, and we could put everything on the internet, which was equally insane. And so I think Fred Smith changed our expectations of how quickly things should happen, how fast your takeout order should come, how fast your mail should come, how fast your products should come. And then, of course, I don't know whether you talked about this yesterday, there was literally the FedEx envelope itself, which had this incredible charisma. If somebody paid 100 times the standard to get it to you, well, it was probably something important. Let's see what it was. And you and I both have stories of executives saying to us, we used to send things in a FedEx envelope just because people opened it.
No, it was the president of the University of Memphis. Recently, the president of the University of Memphis, as he's trying to get Memphis into a Power Five conference, he would send updates to his fellow presidents about what was happening at Memphis. And he said, I'd put it in a FedEx envelope, because who doesn't open a FedEx envelope? You could ignore all kinds of things. Now, honestly, that's sort of changed now. You'll get a FedEx envelope with, you know, I'll get one that will now it'll have a new cemetery deal on a cemetery plot at my age, right? Like, it is a little different now somehow, but at the time.
Well, it was devalued specifically by the people who were sending. No offense to the universities.
These were personal letters from David Rudd. These were personal letters from David Rudd. Right. So
I like the fact that checks came in. Sometimes a check. I think it is sometimes easy to lose sight of. And of course, the stories of him almost going out of business are legendary. And so Charles Fishman's laughter wasn't quite so flip. It turned out to be a hugely difficult business to master.
Pit Hyde yesterday told me that, well, he told me two things. He said one is that two different people told me that. One is Pit Hyde said that you could fill these planes with every envelope you wanted, but until, and one of Fred's geniuses, what he'd go to D.C. and he changed the regulatory system. Like, he had immense power in D.C., FedEx ultimately did. And when they deregulated the packaging.
Let's call it influence instead of power.
When they deregulated the freight industry, that's what really, another thing that really helped them to be profitable. And then Staley Cates, who's an investor in town, he pointed out that, yeah, people focus on air, but it was acquiring the companies that became FedEx Ground and FedEx Freight that really, again, cemented the importance and profitability of FedEx going forward. So he was a great operator as well as this great visionary.
Well, that's the other thing. Most people who are great, Tim Cook, thank you very much. Tim Cook.
Yes,
Tim Cook
Tim's.
Is legendarily a brilliant operator of Apple, but the quiet sort of subtle criticism is that there hasn't actually been a brilliant product since Steve Jobs died. And who worked for Steve Jobs running the company? Tim Cook. So there's founders with a slash of insight and operators. And it turned out that Fred Smith was actually very good at both. And so that's kind of impressive.
So yesterday I went to Costco and we filled up with gas, which we often don't do at Costco because there's often long lines. We paid $2.60 for a gallon of gas at Costco. Is that a lot?
When was that? Yesterday. Okay. Okay. Hang on. Yeah. We're going to test something.
Yeah. Okay. What are we going to test?
$2.60 yesterday. Tennessee's average gas price yesterday was $2.84. So you saved 24 cents a gallon.
It's pretty sure to me.
So you probably saved $5, somewhere between $3 and $5. That's pretty good.
What's happening? It feels like pieces
of
ham.
Wait a minute. I thought you were going to talk about Costco.
Well, we can do that. You could go either direction here, because I have on the list, people, it's no secret now, there's a Costco item on the list. There's also a price of oil item on the list. So I'll let you take it either way. We'll get to the other one next.
Well, you were just talking about Costco.
And the dog has an opinion. And the dog has an opinion also.
Unfortunately, the dog may bark for the rest of the segment. I just closed the door. So listen, Costco Costco is a, I did not realize this. I kind of thought gas for Costco was really a side business. It turns out that in California, which is the largest population state in America.
Hellscape. It's a hellscape.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
More than 10% of Americans live in the hellscape of California, which we're gonna need to bribe my kids not to land there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Costco sells 15% of all the gas sold in California, which is extraordinary. Like you don't see, there's not that many Costcos here in the DC metro region in Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. They could not sell 15% of the gas. And you have to be a member to buy gas.
Right.
You can't roll in. Not only so they sell 50, that's kind of amazing. They're number two. Chevron is number one, and Chevron sells 17% of the retail gas.
Incredible.
They are opening a freestanding gas station in California later this year in Mission Viejo, which is south of Los Angeles. That's going to have 40 pumps. Now, the gas station I use has two islands and four pumps. So even if you have a three island gas station,
three or four island ones I go to, but not
four islands with four pumps each.
That's crazy. 16.
40 pumps, and the average gas savings in this is from a convenience store magazine. Story just last month. The average gas savings per person in California is 53 cents a gallon, not the 25 cents, 24 cents you save.
So it's you still have to be a member of the whole enterprise, even though it's a standalone.
You have to have a Costco card.
The only downside here is no hot dog and drink for $1.50, I bet, at those gas stations.
Wait. You think they're just going to sell gas?
You said standalone. You said it's a standalone. It's just a gas. I see. They're going to have a convenience store.
Every gas station has a. That's why it's in convenience store news. They are very worried about what's going to happen. So, first of all, you save $8. If you buy 15 gallons, you save $8. So, based on the price of gas today. So, so $8, think about that. In literally 6 visits, you've paid for half your Costco membership just from the gas. They understand the power of this. They have opened all their gas stations starting this year. They don't match the store hours anymore. They're open an hour before the store opens and an hour after the store opens. So that's going to be interesting.
They're going to have the hot dog attached?
I don't think that's been made clear, but they're going to have
a convenience store
that sells items. And why wouldn't they sell the hot dog and the pizza in the convenience store?
Right.
So that's coming. 80 million card members. We here at Fish on Friday on Tuesday will see if the gas brings in more brings in more members. It might.
Okay. Onward to the War. It feels like it's going pretty well, I have to say. You hope that these missiles did not launch a broader conflagration in the Mideast, and it seems like peace is at hand, and that would be a good thing. We don't know if Iran is in forever incapable of building a nuclear bomb yet. That's yet to be seen, but the worst fears have not yet materialized. That is certainly true.
Well, I mean, look, of all people, I could quote Rand Paul,
he's an isolationist,
nearly libertarian Republican senator from Kentucky, was on CNBC this morning, and he said, look, let's hope that this one attack on these three nuclear facilities changed the conversation in Iran, between Iran and Israel, and in the surrounding countries. Iran has been a plague on freedom and independence and security and safety in the Middle East for 30 years or 40 years. He said, but let's also acknowledge that the last 30 years of American intervention in the Middle East have not gone well. They have caused immense death, immense suffering, immense chaos, and here we are. Here we are, where literally a week ago, no one would have said we're on the verge of clearing everything up. So I think we can simultaneously hope that this moment changed the attitudes in Iran, and also
be cautious, cautious with our optimism, because you look what happened in Iraq,
Afghanistan,
you look what happened in
Syria,
Afghanistan,
Libya.
It's been a disaster everywhere we've intervened.
Right.
And so there's
we had the Arab Spring. We've had a lot of hope, and the hope hasn't played out. And so let's hope again that this goes well. It is interesting that Donald Trump is exercising his social media account, his Truth Social account, to scream at the leaders of Iran and Israel this morning.
Yeah.
Stop those bombs.
It reminded me, actually, and this is obviously trivialized, it really did remind me of my kids in the back seat of the car when they were six and eight. You know, stop it!
Right.
Just stop
You're
it!
Looking at them in the rear view mirror.
I would do extraordinary things. I would get so mad at that. And this is exactly what. Okay, let's move on because we didn't get to this last week.
But anyway, hang on. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Hang on.
Okay.
I think there's a couple things that are interesting. The American economy continues to be relatively strong. That's one reason we've been slowly tracking the announcements of white-collar layoffs, because Donald Trump inherited a strong economy, low unemployment, strong jobs market. Inflation had been reined in. It had been terrible, but completely reined in by the start of the year. And despite literally 6 months of economic herking and jerking and going 40 different ways of tariffs on and tariffs off and no clarity on the future, the economy is continuing to chug along. As you said to me this morning, there are some tariffs in place and they haven't cascaded up into prices. Although if you look at coffee prices have done what egg prices did last year. Coffee prices are creeping up and they're not coming down. So the economy's held up well. We have a war in the Middle East involving a new player, the United States, and oil prices are now lower than where they were a week and a half ago when Israel started attacking Iran. That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So, and the stock market is, I haven't looked recently, but the stock market opened much stronger this morning on quote-unquote peace. So it is the resilience of the economy compared to the confusion and tumult in the global politics is really interesting. And the fact that oil prices are
USA,
are actually going
USA,
down
USA, USA,
is kind of
USA.
Amazing.
You want to get to, we didn't get to this last week. Artificial, am I not going to be able to get red Jello anymore? Is that what you're telling me? Let's get to the important stuff here. Enough with the bombing in Iran. I want to know if I'm going to be able to get red Jello going forward.
Boy, this was kind of it felt like both a big announcement and an announcement long overdue. Kraft Heinz itself a kind of modern mockery of mergers. Kraft merged with Heinz. Now we have a single company called Kraft Heinz that makes both your barbecue sauce, your ketchup, and your mustard. They announced last week that they literally on Tuesday, on Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, that they were henceforth stopping use of all artificial colors. And when you think about art in food, when you think about artificial colors in food, think about that red raspberry chocolate.
That's what I think about.
Think about the
jiggling away, bright red, yeah.
Bright red. Or for that matter, bright green. Crystal light that is really bright yellow, and the Kool-Aid, whatever color is, I guess Kool-Aid comes in kind of purple now. They have announced, and those three products still contain artificial colors. They've announced that they're going to take the dye out, and they're going to either reconfigure the Jell-O. I don't know. Jell-O won't be Jell-O if it's kind of...
You can't buy clear Jell-O. You can't have clear Jell-O. I was reading a story. I was listening to a story on this generally speaking.
Wait a minute. Okay. Stop. We are...
Yes, go ahead, Charles. The floor
like
is yours.
We're like GPT.
Yeah.
Of course you can buy clear Jell-O. It's called gelatin.
Okay.
And people use it for all kinds of...
We're not
going to
eat it, though,
gelatin.
At a picnic. You know, we're not going to eat it at a picnic, though.
You're going to eat it in a pie. You're going to eat it in something somebody's put it in. But anyway, yes, you can buy clear Jell-O. It's just not very appealing, right?
You can make this stuff with natural colors, right? You can make it with natural colors. Yeah. To your point, I was reading that one of the problems is it's hard to match the colors or get the same vivid quality of the colors. But also, there's a whole supply chain issue here because you need all this whatever the natural colorings are. Everyone needs them now, and they don't have the supply chain set up to get them. It's not an easy transition, is my understanding. No.
90% of what Kraft Heinz makes by dollar volume is already made without artificial dyes. And they took it out of the most important product, Kraft Mac and Cheese, literally 9 years ago in 2016. I will say this. This is a fake...
It's a fake story?
Excuse me. This is completely fake focus. This is... Americans aren't unhealthy because Jell-O is bright red. Those artificial dyes have been tested up one side and down the other. There's no evidence that cause any damage compared to, say, measles, which will kill you.
Okay, so why are we unhealthy,
Charles? You should be vaccinated.
Why are we unhealthy? Why are we unhealthy? It's because we're eating too much red Jell-O, isn't it?
I think it's probably because we're eating too much Jell-O in general, but not because it's red. No, it's
because we're fat.
The point is,
we drink, we smoke, we don't exercise.
The natural colorings that we're putting in have not been tested at anywhere near that level. And you know, arsenic is natural. Uranium is natural. There are lots of things that are natural that will kill you. So the fact that something's quote-unquote natural doesn't mean that it's good for you. And so
this is kind of fake,
but it was... You're mocking me.
No, I'm not mocking. No mocking, Charles. There's no mocking here. Only gratitude. On Twitter or X at C Fishman. We got to get out of here. See you later. Appreciate it, Charles.
Have a good week.
Yeah, good luck with those trees. Hey, Jeffrey, we got to get out of here. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeffrey's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson and Norton Hurd will join the program today. Tim Murray's with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.